Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio, America's original 12-step radio show. From addiction to recovery, from despair to encouragement, and everything in between. This is real life. And now, Steppin' Out Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Scott Clark. Thank you for joining us for this session of truth, reality, and the American way. Well, hopefully the worldwide way. This is where we talk about addiction and recovery. This is where we talk with people who have suffered through trials and tribulations of using something, of being taken by something that they can't quit, and it affects their lives in an adverse way, and how they deal with it in the end. We have a lot of happy endings around this radio show because we talk with recovering people. People who have been there, done that, and are on the other side and who can relate these experiences to you and maybe help you to learn how to deal with these situations, whether it's you or whether it's someone you love, someone near and dear to your heart. We emanate from our broadcast studios here in New York City, all across this great land of ours, and around the world on Armed Forces Radio. And to that end, we give our thanks to our soldiers, sailors, and Marines who keep us safe around the world. Our guest, our special guest on this day is Andrea. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. We take on the reality of so many afflictions that can affect people on an everyday basis. Alcohol, other drugs, gambling, overeating, undereating. Now, this is our subject. Andrea is going to tell us about her trials and tribulations, the disease of
compulsive overeating.
Compulsive overeating. And I'm looking at a wonderfully beautiful lady here on the other side of the table. She is not 350 or 400 pounds or 500 pounds. She is not anorexic. She looks healthy as a lovely American would look. Andrea, we begin at the beginning, though. What are your beginnings?
Well, my beginnings. I began compulsively overeating when I was about 5 years old. My mom was a compulsive overeater. She was well over 300 pounds. And she gave me a piece of cake one day. I don't know, just out of the blue, I just felt hungry after the piece of cake. And I asked her for another. And she gave me another. And that was the beginning of my compulsive overeating. I don't know how to actually even describe, except to say that whenever I ate sweets, I never got full. It seemed like I got hungrier. So I just ate more and more. And I was very overweight by age 6 because I remember being teased in school. And I remember my school uniforms not fitting anymore. And I just remember my mom dying as a result of her compulsive overeating when I was only 9. She had a sudden heart attack. Mm-hmm. She was about 325 pounds. And what food did for me then was it became a comfort.
Did it seem at that time, when you remembered your mother giving you this piece of cake, that it was okay because mom also had the cake and mom also had weight, and so that made it okay?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're a little kid, all you do is you see something and it tastes good. But I had never really wanted more before. You know, like some of us can't really remember our first compulsive bite. But that was my first compulsive bite, and I do remember because I thought that it was strange that I had just had this piece and that I wanted more, and that it seemed like I was hungrier than I had been before.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is the holiday season. This is the time we all gain weight, I think, or mm-hmm. many people, normal, abnormal. There is no normal in this world of ours, by the way. There is just us. We're all the same. We're all different in so many ways. But at this time, in the holiday seasons, I know I gain weight. Do you gain weight?
Well, not anymore. You know, since I came into recovery, you know, fast forwarding into adulthood, when I came into recovery and I found a plan of eating, which works for me, that's what we call a food plan in Overeaters Anonymous. It's one of the tools we use. When I found a plan of eating and I worked through the 12 steps with my sponsor and developed my self-esteem, my spiritual program, everything started falling into place, and I eat very well today. I just simply don't eat certain foods that make me crave having more and more.
Particularly sweets?
Well, particularly sweets, but as a compulsive overeater, you could put 10 pounds of broccoli down in front of me, and I would just smother it with a stick of butter and eat it. You know, to me, the feeling of full means eat more. And it's sort of like a vicious cycle. The more I ate, the more I felt guilty, the more I wanted to eat to cover up the guilt so I wouldn't feel it. What my plan of eating is it, it eliminates certain ingredients from my daily diet, and I also weigh and measure my food.
Then it becomes a vicious cycle of I feel
that becomes and- yeah that becomes a vicious cycle. And you know, we take our program from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and in the Big Book there's a chapter in there, the doctor's opinion, where he talks about the phenomenon of craving. You know, what alcohol does to alcoholics, it doesn't do to non-alcoholics. You know, like a non-alcoholic can have half a glass of wine, they leave it, they get up from the table and they go home. You know, an alcoholic has to have a glass of wine and then another and then another. You know, a normal eater, you know, can have a piece of cake, say, gee, that was really good. Maybe on Thanksgiving, they'll get really stuffed and say, oh, my God. They'll wake up the next day and say, boy, I better take it easy for a couple of days. Compulsive overeater will get up the next day and say, wow, that was great. I want to do that again. More turkey, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes. The ironic thing about it is that on this plan of eating, at Thanksgiving, I get a full plate of food. There are just certain foods that I don't eat. And since I weigh and measure everything, I'm going to have 16 ounces of vegetables on my plate. Now, that means I can have broccoli and string beans and squash. And I make a variety of things. So I have turkey and a sweet potato. And I've got all colors, shapes, sizes on my plate. I'm eating like everybody else. The only thing that I'm not having are the dinner rolls and the cranberry sauce.
Those are the triggers.
The triggers for me are foods that contain flour products and sugar products. You know, the flour breaks down the same way as the sugar does, and that kind of messes with, you know, with the insulin in my body. It sort of like gives me a high and then drops me down. If I eat foods that don't contain flour or sugar, I have my meal, I'm done. I say that was great, and I move on.
There are common threads in all addictions, whether it's drinking, drugging, overeating, undereating, gambling, is that I can't quit. But this is even more, I guess, more interesting in the fact that everybody does have to eat. You don't have to drink alcohol to survive. You don't have to gamble to survive. You don't have to do all of those things, take drugs to survive, for the most part, at least recreational drugs. But you got to eat.
Yeah.
And there, I would think, lies the rub.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say it's like taking the tiger out for a walk three times a day and then putting him back in his cage. You know, I'm also in recovery for alcoholism. And a few of my friends in AA asked me, well, what is that like with the food? And I said, well, just imagine that, you know, you're allowed to have three drinks a day. And I could see the look of horror on their faces, like, oh, my gosh. You know, that's why What,
and many would say, all right, I'll go for that.
Yeah,
I can go for 3 drinks a day. I'll go there. Yeah. Let's try that.
Let's try that. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't work, folks.
Doesn't work, folks. No.
But food is a substance that you have to have. You have to have nutrition.
Yeah. Well, you see, the, Overeaters Anonymous suggests that you consult a licensed dietitian or, you know, sometimes a sponsor will work on you to see what works best for you. You know, it's about honesty, you know, and I learned honesty in the first step. So if I tell my sponsor, well, I'd like to have cake every now and again, I wouldn't be honest because I know if I have that, I'm just using cake as an example. If I have that piece of cake, I'm off to the races. So I have to be honest and say, you know, something, cake is, you know, not part of my plan of eating.
I would love to have champagne on New Year's Eve.
Absolutely.
I mean, what a great, I mean, the romanticism of it is, uh-huh. is the most intriguing factor, but I can't have that drink, that one drink, because that is a trigger as well.
Mm-hmm.
We all have triggers, and it's not to say you also are in AA.
Yes.
I also have a very good friend who is an overeater, but that's about it. I mean, drinks, you can take or leave. Mm-hmm. Gambling, take or leave. Smoking, smoke a pack when he's having a beer or something like that. Then he doesn't smoke again for 6 months. And I look at him and go, how do you do that? How do you do that? But he's also very overweight and can't stop eating, though.
Yeah.
So we all have, not all, but we all, yes, we do. We all have character defects. We all have something. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that we're all addicts, but we all have something. We have character defects that we have to deal with. And do you think in addicts that it's just that we have character defects and sensitivities that may run riot at times?
I think all of us as addicts have character defects that run riot at times. And that's what the 12 steps helped me with, because I got the opportunity to examine my defects of character. You know, when I did my fourth step, and then I brought that to my, you know, doing the Searching and Fearless Moral Inventory, and then turning that over to my sponsor, which is in the fifth step. And then my sponsor helped me to pull out the defects of character from that inventory.
It's about getting help to deal with the problem that I have that I can't stop. That's what we're about, Stepping Out Radio, trying to help. And we'll be back with more with Andrea after these words.
More true stories of real people who clawed their way back from addiction are just a tap away with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app, available for iOS and Android devices. Go to steppinoutradio.com on your phone or tablet now and click the banner icon. Find that favorite episode, share it through email, or post it on Facebook and Twitter. steppinoutradio.com has one-touch subscriptions for iTunes, Google Play, and all other popular podcasting apps. Find it at steppinoutradio.com.
Welcome back to Stepping Out Radio. Scott Clark with you. Andrea is our special guest talking about overeating and also some alcohol thrown in as we prepare for this holiday season of, well, it is the season of overeating, overdrinking, and just about everything else. But it doesn't mean that everyone is an addict. It means that some of us are. And this is a place where we can help people who might have a problem. If you think you may have a problem with overeating or undereating, or gambling, or drinking, or another drug, because drinking is a drug, folks. Alcohol is a drug. You can go to our website, www.12stepmeeting.com. That's www.12stepmeeting.com. You can sign up for our free newsletter or drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Our guest, again, is Andrea, talking about overeating and where it took her. And we pick up your story. Basically, we were, as you were growing up and eating and feeling worse about yourself, but that meant for you to eat more, or it led you to eat more. Not meant that you would, but led you to eat more. Tell us of the progression as you went through, let's say, high school and then on beyond that.
Oh, well, when I went to high school, I hung out with a group of girls who pretty much ate everything they wanted, and they remained slim. And I didn't understand it because I was always on starvation diets and I could only lose so much weight and then I would, you know, just binge. I mean, I was starving.
When you went into high school, you're weighing what?
Oh, probably 150, okay. Something like that. And I'm 5'2".
5'2". Yeah. So a little
bit
overweight.
A little bit overweight. Oh. But, you know, as an overeater, I would look in the mirror and I would think that I was looking at a 400-pound woman in the mirror. Mm. You know, I have real body image distortion. You know, I can look in the mirror one day and see a normal size and look in the mirror the next day and look three times the size. Mm-hmm. So when I got into high school, I saw these girls that ate whatever they wanted and I asked them, well, what are you doing? How can you eat all of that and remain so slim? And they said, come on with us. And they brought me to the ladies' room and showed me how they lined up and threw up their food.
And this was in high school.
This was in high school and we didn't have a word for it now. It's called bulimia. And we didn't call it bulimia. We called it, you know, having the best of both worlds. We can eat whatever we want and throw up. Well, I couldn't do that. I actually was doing a lot of that with alcohol because I drank until I threw up. And, you know, the attitude of a good addict is, wow, then all the food I ate didn't really count. Mm. You know?
When did alcohol come into play?
Alcohol came into play when I was very young. Also, I was about 5 years old. There was always alcohol in the house, and it was an eating, drinking family, and my father was a bartender. The rule of thumb was as long as you don't get sick and throw it up and an adult has to clean it up, you can drink. And the rule in the house as far as food went was as long as you eat your three meals, you can eat whatever you want in between. So as a compulsive overeater, they just pretty much told me I could just eat all day long.
And drink.
So school didn't go very well for me. Grades 1 through 12, I had a relative who did a lot of my schoolwork for me because between the sugar and the alcohol, I would sit in school all day and my mind would go out the window and I basically learned nothing except math. Somehow or other, I was interested in math and I would go home and I was asked, what did you learn? And I'd say, math. So my relatives, you know, I grew up in the 60s, and back in the 60s, you didn't want people to know that you had a, quote, lazy child, unquote. So my schoolwork was done for me. And I think I may have read one book in all the years that I was assigned books to read, and that was about it. So it was a miracle that when I came into recovery, I actually went to college because people in Overeaters Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous encouraged me to go to school. And once I was in recovery, I wanted to learn. And I went to school and a whole new world opened up to me.
Now, in between here, I mean, you're through high school. Did your disease just progress?
Both? It progressed because I continued to starve and binge, and then exercise came into play. There is such a thing called exercise bulimia, and I exercised saying, if I exercise all of this food off, then I can eat some more. So I would do jumping jacks and sit-ups and all kinds of exercises for hours in front of the TV when I got home, and I would get on and off the scale. And if the scale, you know, gave me a pound less than I was when I first got on it, then I felt like I could have a snack. You know, I had my own little rituals on when I was allowed to eat. And I had to give myself permission to binge so that I didn't live with the guilt, you know. And this made perfect sense to me. You know, my every thought was centered around, how can I eat? What can I eat? Where can I get the money to get this food? If I didn't have money, could I sneak some money out of my father's drawer so that he won't notice it so I could buy some stuff to eat? I didn't have very many thoughts about friends and boyfriends and going to parties. You know, I was very fearful, and what food did was it soothed me and it calmed me down. And it made me feel as though I could function among other people.
Now, where would the alcohol come into play during this time when you're really basically concentrating and saying, this is all making sense and I'm eating and binging and Then what did alcohol do?
The alcohol, you know, I was a weekend warrior, basically.
Did you stop eating? Did you eat less when you were doing the alcohol?
No. And that's funny because I've met a lot of really skinny alcoholics who said that they couldn't eat while they were drinking. I ate and drank. You know, there was a time I did drugs. I could sniff cocaine and then sit there and eat and
really?
Drink. You know, I was an all-round just, you know, give it to me. And if it gives me a sensation that I like, I'll just keep doing this. You know, I used to do a lot of drugs, especially back in the 70s, you know, the disco era. And as my friends dropped off and got into recovery or just stopped going to clubs, I stopped doing drugs by drinking more. I thought that was a really good solution. Mm-hmm. So I eventually was left with, you know, alcohol and food. But, you know, food and alcohol were there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know.
And after high school, then what?
After high school, I went to work right away. You didn't need a college degree to get work at the time. And I joined a commercial weight loss program because everybody joined this program and it seemed to work for people. People lost weight. And I actually lost 60 pounds and then I proceeded to gain 68 back. And I had never seen anyone gain weight in this program before. And I went up to the leader after I had gained that 68th pound and I actually broke down and cried and I said, I don't know what to do. I've never seen anyone fail on this plan. It's a wonderful food plan. I'm just not getting it. I had no idea what was wrong with me. And she actually gave me the number to Overeaters Anonymous.
The ups and downs of overeating and alcoholism, addictions. Our special guest is Andrea. I'm Scott Clark. This is Steppin' Out. We'll be right back.
Aren't these stories of addiction and recovery inspiring? Wish you could share them instantly with friends or even relatives? You can with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app. It's available for iOS and Android phones and tablets. Share that episode in an email, Facebook post, or tweet with a single tap on your screen. Download shows to your devices and listen while working, jogging, or lounging. Prefer a podcast? Steppin' Out Radio is on Google Play, iTunes, and many other podcast platforms. Go to steppinoutradio.com to subscribe.
Welcome back to Steppin' Out Radio. Scott Clark with you. We are listening to and speaking with Andrea, who's telling us and really basically giving us a lot of knowledge about what it's like for people who have eating problems, who are overeating. And it's not just Thanksgiving and Christmas, because after Thanksgiving and Christmas, people get on the wheel and they get on the exercise programs and they may lose weight, or at least by springtime. But these are people who can't quit eating, overeating. Andrea, I spoke in the break about filling the hole, that there's a hole that addicts keep trying to fill, and that's where the acting out comes, whether it's drinking, whether it's gambling, or I just can't quit this because I can't fill that hole. What hole did you feel?
Well, you know something? For a long time, I didn't know what it was. And then through going to meetings, I heard a girl one day say, I had a God-sized hole that I was trying to fill with food. And I said, that's it. I don't have a spiritual program in my life. Because they say that the disease of compulsion is threefold. It's physical, spiritual, and emotional. Now, if I just go with the physical, I'm just going on a diet, and it's not going to work for me. The plan of eating that I'm on now, if I did not do that with a spiritual program, it would just be another diet, and it would have failed. Now, when I talk about a spiritual program, you know, in 12-step, they suggest you find a power greater than yourself. They don't tell you it has to be God, you know, just something outside of me, you know. And sometimes it can be you walk into a meeting. Everyone at that moment, at that meeting, is abstinent. So there's a spirit in that room that's a power greater than me. So if I don't believe in God, I can make that spirit a power greater than me. And working through the steps, I'm working with this power greater than me.
The magic of recovery in 12-step programs, I believe, is that the spirituality is, there is no dogma here. There is no, you have to follow this to do that. Anything in a 12-step program that may help you are suggestions. They aren't, you do this, you go to heaven. You do that, this will happen. They're suggestions for people who may suffer from whatever it is, may have these problems. Back to your story. Mm-hmm. Out of high school, eating, drinking, and where did that take you?
Well, it brought me into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and that was...
At what age?
I was 30-something. Let's see,
Okay, let's go from 18 to 30-something then. What were those, that decade or decade?
Oh, boy, those were the lost years. That was eating, starving, binging, drinking, drugging, eating, just going through a cycle. So I would range anywhere from 150 up to 200 pounds. Then it started climbing upwards from there. I did get up to 251 pounds. And then there was a time where I just was no longer willing to get on the scale.
At 5 feet two.
At 5 feet two.
250 pounds.
250 pounds. Stop getting on the scale. I actually have a picture of me that I carry with me, and I've brought it to OA meetings, and I've asked people, how much do you think I weigh here? Because I was no longer getting on the scale, and many people said that it looked as though I was getting close to 300. Mm-hmm. So today I get on the scale once a week, and I weighed in this past week at 135. Mm.
Congratulations.
So thank you. So it is over 100-pound weight loss, and I'm telling you that if I was doing this myself, I would have never been able to do this. Mm-hmm. I have done this with the love of the people in Overeaters Anonymous and the love that I have developed with this power greater than myself, my higher power. And what I do is I pray, I do what they say, turning it over, I put it out to the universe, and then I do the footwork.
Before we get to your recovery, I'd like to explore what happened with the overeating and the alcoholism and how they were intertwined. And did you go to AA first? Did you go to OA first? How did that work? What was the sequence there?
Well, I had no idea that I had a problem with alcohol, despite the fact that I would have...
you were drunk
despite
and
the
high
fact
and
that I would have seven drinks, and on the seventh drink, I always threw up. And every time I went out, I said, this time I'm going to be able to drink that seventh drink, and it never worked. And I thought that all people started drinking at age five. So it seemed like a very normal thing. Mm-hmm. I began Overeaters Anonymous first because that was the disease you could see. You know, I was big. And how I came to AA was I was going on a trip to the Bahamas, and I called up OA to see where I could find a meeting there. And they said, we don't have OA in the Bahamas, but you can always go to an AA meeting. And I said, oh, man, I don't want anybody to think I'm an alcoholic. Are you crazy? But I went down to the Bahamas, beautiful Nassau, and I called up AA, and they told me how to get to the meeting. And I went to this place called the Nassau Group, and I actually became a member of the Nassau Group. I celebrated my fifth sober anniversary with them. They had, imagine, a cake and ice cream for me. Oh, boy.
We're going to come back and talk about the OA to the AA and how it's working today with Andrea when we come back on Steppin' Out. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
More true stories of real people who clawed their way back from addiction are just a tap away with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app, available for iOS and Android devices. Go to steppinoutradio.com on your phone or tablet now and click the banner icon. Find that favorite episode, share it through email, or post it on Facebook and Twitter. Steppinoutradio.com has one-touch subscriptions for iTunes, Google Play, and all other popular podcasting apps. Find it at steppinoutradio.com.
Welcome back once again to Steppin' Out Radio. Our special guest is Andrea. We're talking about, actually two things here of recovery, two programs of OA and AA. You're now in your 30s. You began OA at age 30?
About 32.
Okay. And what age did you do the Bahamas thing with AA? When was that?
I was probably about 33.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about a year that you were doing OA and not doing AA.
Mm-hmm.
So then you went to the Bahamas. So you were not eating. It was helping with the OA, right? The OA was helping you?
Yes. It was helping me, but I really hadn't gotten the true meaning of getting a plan of eating. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I was abstinent, but I was, you know, really not eating enough.
So the weight was coming down. Were the drinks going up?
They were.
So then you go to the Bahamas and...
I went to the Bahamas. I walked into an AA meeting. I heard people talking about why they drank. And I sat there and I said, wow, I drink for the same reasons. You know, they said, well, it's more comfortable talking to you know, women or men, you know, depending on who was speaking. And, mm-hmm. you know, it makes me feel, you know, funny, like I can... You know, like I have a personality, like I'm interesting. And I said, well, yeah, you know, I do the same thing. And, you know, that sort of like that was like planting the seed, you know.
You know, we finally relate with people. I think that's the key. Instead of comparing, like, this is my deal. Oh, I can't be that bad. No, I'm not that bad. Well, I'm worse than that. Well, not comparing, but relating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I relate to your feelings.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. I can get help now. I'm not alone. There are people who actually have this same thing I have. And so how has your recovery been?
My recovery has been a dream come true. It took me a long time to get it. I was in AA for a year before I could admit that I was an alcoholic, because I was comparing and not identifying for a while. Overeaters Anonymous, it took me 10 years to really finally get my recovery, and that's because I kept trying to do it my way. And I finally entrusted my care over to a nutritionist, to a sponsor, to other people in OA. I've been abstinent now with the food for over 9 years, and I've been sober now for 17 years. Mm. I never really truly felt sober while I was still eating. I still felt like there was something missing, and there was. There was. In this abstinence, in this beautiful abstinence, I've discovered a woman inside me that I never knew existed. You know, I went to college. I went into a whole different field. I thought I was going to go to college for business, and I ended up in a helping profession. I have worked with addicts and alcoholics. I've worked with the elderly, with the mentally ill. I have a knack for being, you know, empathic, you know, just feeling empathy for people, because mm-hmm. I've walked a long, hard road to get this far in recovery. So I learned in program not to judge others, and it makes it perfect for my profession.
We in recovery don't feel sympathy for anyone. We feel empathy for them, because we are all responsible for what we do. At least that is how I heard it, mm-hmm. and how I see it in our 12-step programs, whatever they may be. I relate with you. I don't feel sympathy for you, because you are responsible, as am I.
Mm-hmm.
But the empathy
can
fill a room, and it does with these 12-step programs. and you have had the gift of two 12-step programs. Do you practice? They'll say, "Well, how do you do OA, and then how do you do AA? Do they work together?"
Well, I go to both OA and AA. I can't stay abstinent by going to AA, and I can't stay sober by going to OA. I need both of my fellowships, and I have good, loving friends, and I'm very service-oriented. I love to do service, so I'll lead meetings, I'll speak at meetings, I'll put out chairs. You know, I've made coffee. You know, in the days where we could smoke at meetings, I would wash out ashtrays and people would say, "Good job." And I felt like $1 million when people did that. You know, my recovery has brought me so many rewards, and I am happy, joyous, and free today. And my holidays are truly felt. The disease of compulsion used to make me believe that my emotions were something that could not be handled, that they were too extreme, and that I needed the substances to hold my emotions down. And that was a lie. My emotions are good. They're healthy. They're not extreme. You know, if I'm angry, if I'm sad, it's so much better than not feeling anything or trying to numb myself out. And that was a big lie that the disease told me. They said, "Don't feel, don't feel." The emotional recovery has been one of the biggest surprises to me. And a lot of people say my worst day in recovery is better than my best day when I was out there. And that's true for me.
Living life on life's terms. It's not a bowl of cherries. It's not a bowl of ice cream and cherries. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. And that I can live my life one day at a time without this, without overeating, it's an intriguing word, abstinence, because abstinence to me is no drinking. Abstinence in OA, you can't be no eating because you do have to eat. But what is abstinence in OA?
We define it as the act of refraining from compulsive eating and refraining from other compulsive behaviors around eating. So, you know, I could be eating fine, but if I'm going out exercising like, you know, 15 hours a day, that's not really abstinent behavior. Mm.
Our guest is Andrea. It's a wonderful topic. Most of us out there, we're overeating, yes, during the holiday season. But this is about overeating every day, over drinking every day, and how to deal with it, how it can be dealt with one day at a time. This is Steppin' Out. We'll be right back.
Aren't these stories of addiction and recovery inspiring? Wish you could share them instantly with friends or even relatives? You can with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app. It's available for iOS and Android phones and tablets. Share that episode in an email, Facebook post, or tweet with a single tap on your screen. Download shows to your devices and listen while working, jogging, or lounging. Prefer a podcast? Steppin' Out Radio is on Google Play, iTunes, and many other podcast platforms. Go to steppinoutradio.com to subscribe.
Welcome back one more time to Steppin' Out Radio. Scott Clark with you. Andrea has been with us and enlightening us on her life, on how it, on where it went. What would you say to a person, your best suggestion to a person who may be out there listening to us right now who says, "Do I have an eating problem? Do I have an overeating problem?" How do you tell?
The way I was able to tell was that no matter what I tried, I never had a comfortable, safe relationship with food. You know, food is to nourish my body. I get hungry certain times of the day, and I eat, and then I move on with my life. Food had become my entire life. How am I going to eat? When am I going to eat? Do I have to sneak eating? You know, when I see someone eating on the subway, there are certain people that just eat with relish on the train, and they're fine. They're just hungry. They're eating, and there are other people that will get that guilty look.
Most people I'll see who are overweight eat like birds in public.
Yes.
If you see them.
Yes.
Say, would you like some, you know, said, oh, no, I'm fine right here. I'm fine with this. I'm just having the turkey with the lettuce. You know, and I said, you're 285 pounds. I mean, somewhere you've got to fill this body. And then I think about what they're like when they go home, and it must be an amazing different picture.
It's a whole different picture. I mean, I used to take the phone off the hook, just turn on the TV with the remote control and just eat like mindlessly out of bags, boxes, containers, you know. It was a very depressing life. I had nothing to look forward to.
But there is help, and you found help, not only with overeating, but with alcohol as well. And sober and not for many years now, 9 and 17 years, has it, in eating and then drinking? It's been an amazing run, I imagine, for you, has it?
It has been an amazing run. And the thing I can tell for anyone, you know, out there who may want to try an Overeaters Anonymous meeting or an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, people are very, very loving. When you walk into a room, it's, you know, we have a passage called Welcome Home, and every time I hear it, I cry. I can't even recite it because it's very long. But you don't ever have to be embarrassed. You know, the thing about anonymity is that I can walk into any OA meeting and I can just spill my guts. I can say, well, I threw something away and then ate it, you know, pulled it out of the garbage later on. If I tell a normal eater that, they'll say, oh, that's disgusting. If I tell another overeater that, they say, amen, sister, I'm right there with you.
Amen and amen. Andrea, thank you for joining us on Steppin' Out.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time, one day at a time.